Grade 8 Conference, Lecture 12, Preparation, Part 1. Grade 8, on the face of it, can appear to be daunting. It looks like there's a great deal of content to bring to the students, and of course, with their somewhat awakening new intellectual capacities, it can't be done in a dreamy way. It's got to be done with clarity. They want to have more factual matter before them. They want to feel that they're mastering something. So that's inherently there in the eighth grade curriculum. But I would think that a great many of you, most if not all of those participating in this conference, are also faced with the fact that your school does not have a Waldorf high school, so that your students are going to go on to another high school, which means that certainly some of them may go to a local public high school. But there are always those families who want their children to remain in independent schools, which means that those students are going to have to take usually it's a kind of standardized entrance exam for private high schools. And also, they may be, you know, having be interviewed and have to show what they've learned and things like that. So that puts greater pressure on you. You know, they're going to be tested usually fairly early in the year. And even if your school does have a Waldorf high school, it's not like, you know, you can just go off and dream for the rest of the year because they'll take care of it all. In fact, sometimes teachers find that's even more stressful because they feel the presence of those high school teachers around them wanting to come in and intervene. And indeed, you may be in a situation, if you're in an established Waldorf school, where it's just a given that the high school English teacher will come in and do maybe twice a week a track class in grammar and vocabulary and other aspects of language arts, maybe even do a main lesson block in language arts with your class. It's very likely that you have either a math specialist who's been working with your class for 2 or 3 years or more, who's going to stay on with them in eighth grade, or that the high school math teacher may be coming in and working with your class. You are being given a signal, essentially, that your capacities are not trusted, especially in the basics, in math and in language arts. You know, who cares what you do with history? And certainly anything artistic isn't that important, but we want to be sure that when your students get into high school, there's a standardized quality about them, that they can all work on the same level mathematically and have the same skills level in language arts, if not the same degree of creative faculties there. So I call this tendency, and it's growing, and it's kind of inexorable. And I've been battling with it both in my own school and in other schools that I have visited for years and years. I call it the phenomenon of the incredible shrinking class teacher. That the class teacher's role as a pedagogue, as an educator, is being diminished year by year, in school after school. Well, what does that leave the class teacher to do then? Well, to share stories, and that's why, surprisingly, It's very unusual that a high school history teacher would come in, or there'd be a history specialist doing it, because it's seen in the grade school as just being a bunch of stories kind of stitched together. Not so important. So you're given the unimportant, harmless things to do. Very likely, again, if you have a high school, the high school physics teacher will come and do your physics block. The high school chemistry teacher will come and do your chemistry block. This is why we have Roberto's films, to show you you can do it yourself. And you may not need all of that assistance. So you're left basically as a social worker, helping the kids stay out of trouble and make nice to each other. You're there as a kind of nanny, making sure they're dressed warmly in the winter, that they have lunch, that their parents come and pick them up on time. You know, we really have to face that in many schools, by seventh grade and certainly by eighth grade, the class teacher is experienced as a bit of a lame duck on his or her way out. Now, we might say there's some poetic justice in that, because Steiner didn't want an eighth grade to begin with, but once he accepted that there was going to be an eighth grade, and that it was likely that many class teachers were going to stick with it through that eighth grade, then he took it very seriously and spoke again and again to the class teacher about the subjects, did not recommend that an army of specialists be hovering around. So this is a very big issue, and I'd say that whether people acknowledge it or not, I think it's very demoralizing. When I visit eighth grade classes and see, you know, the high school teacher or maybe a parent who's got a PhD in physics doing a brilliant presentation of the physics class, and there's the class teacher sitting at his desk correcting papers or trying to look busy in some way or other, that's ridiculous. It's unless, of course, the high school is so small that the teachers all have a lot of time on their hands. That does happen, for sure. But other than that, it's kind of very wasteful, really wasteful of human resources. And I hope that you are not put in such a position where you're just sort of a placeholder, counting the days till you're gone. Or another way of looking at it is they're really helping you, because they're helping you be weaned from your class and the children to be weaned from you. Okay, there's something to be said for that. And they're also helping you by giving you the time to take care of your most important task in eighth grade, which is to raise money for the class trip. There again, that's another issue, that the class trip and the class play become such huge events. Funny enough, the graduation, not so. And many schools have graduations that are incredibly anticlimactic. Nobody quite knows what to do about it, how to work with an eighth grade graduation. But certainly the class trip, in school after school, year after year, it grows bigger and bigger and bigger, and you know, now it involves travel, transcontinental travel very often, or travel to Europe or to the Caribbean or to help to build houses in Venezuela or something like that. It is just so outrageous. It has so little to do with the children's education. And one might say, well, you know, they went to Venezuela or they went to Puerto Rico and they saw how people lived there and it opened their eyes to what the rest of the world is like. And that's all well and good. But, you know, if you're a good teacher, you can do the same thing by creating vivid pictures, vivid imaginative descriptions for the students of what the rest of the world is like. Oh, the class trip was an amazing social experience. That can be true, but, you know, what did human beings do before they had class trips? How did they learn to be social beings before there were jet planes and yachts and things like that? There again, you've had 8 years to build a social hole in that class. You've had years and years and months in eighth grade in which to see what loose ends are still there socially and to try to work with all of that. The class trip, the fundraising, number one, and then the planning and the haggling over where you're going to go and the kind of competitive stuff that arises. Well, last year's class went to Paris. We should at least be able to go to Moscow this year. This sort of stuff, in a certain way, is the unraveling of the class. It brings in this kind of competitive, aggrandizing, selfish quality. You know, raise money for our class trip. Maybe we'll assuage our conscience by giving 10% of it to a charity or something like that. But basically, it's kind of exploiting the parents in the class who you know are probably going to make up for whatever the children don't raise. The bake sales with their endless amounts of sugar, exploiting the first and second graders who are finding that they have to bring money to school almost every day in order to pay for whatever food is being foisted upon them. It's rarely good food. It's rarely healthy. Pizza, soda, bake sales, whatever. Maybe your school does it differently. But if you think about all of this, you know, you have no idea right now what that is like when you, as the class teacher, are in the middle of that, you know, money, and trying to run after kids to hold them to be responsible for their fundraising quota or selling stuff or whatever work they said they would do. You probably can't do much about it because eighth grade is just around the corner. But maybe you can be a voice of reason in the future for next year's eighth grade and the eighth grade after that, that maybe your school has just allowed these things to go too far, too fast. And I would say that more than anything else, all of these external things tend to distract from and detract from the amazing climax, the wonderful crescendo that can occur in eighth grade. And if you think that what I'm saying is an exaggeration, I would just say to you, think back on the last, let's assume you've been with your class for at least 4 years, okay? You've probably gone as a faculty member then to four graduations of other people's eighth grades, and you've heard the students talk about their experiences with their class teacher, with their class, or with their class teachers if there have been more than one. How much do they talk about what they have learned? I mean, in terms of subjects, in terms of artistic experiences, in terms of awakening to the beauty of numbers or to the wonder of the world of science. I can guarantee you that the children you've heard have said nothing whatsoever about anything that went on in the classroom, except where the teacher made a stupid mistake. What they're going to talk about is mostly the class trip and their exciting experiences there. In part, of course, because it's fresh. It just happened. It just ended. And it makes it you know, they're not going to go out of their way to try to do a great recapitulation of eight grades. They'll do what's easiest. But it just shows how, for kids of this age, how a social experience, how, you know, something exciting can so overshadow all the other experiences they've had. And I have heard particularly grandparents talk about this, and they've talked to me about this. You know, I can't believe that, you know, my son and daughter-in-law spent $100,000 over these years on tuition, and hearing what these kids are talking about. Didn't they learn anything? You know, what have they been doing all these years? For us, you know, well, we know, oh, yes, well, it's all gone deeply, and it's hard for them to draw it out of their etheric forces and all of that. But the reality is that the eighth grade becomes a kind of orgy of superficiality. You know, it's all so focused on the most outward things that the children tend to lose, at least for a period of time, so much that has really formed them, so much that's really meant something to them. It also shows that really it would be so much better if teachers, like yourself, got more involved with the graduation and didn't just let the kids write their own little speeches or, you know, no, we're going to do this ourselves. It's our gift to you. You have to be more engaged because it's a very public event. It's publicity for the school. It's public relations for the school. And usually it presents the school in a very poor light. Even though, you know, those in the school love these children and know what a big event this is, and it's wonderful. But the reality is that it represents only the most superficial parts of Waldorf education. So that's something, you know, to be very aware of, that you're still dealing with youngsters. And you want to be sure that you are giving them an experience in the year that is not just all preface, class trip, class play. That's all that matters. And you'll see on the schedule that I've given you in the block rotation, I have a class play, I have a class trip. It's not to say, you know, we have to just get that out of the eighth grade, by no means, but it's a question of not letting it overshadow. And for that, part of your preparation must be this summer, starting to plot out how right away at the very beginning of the year, you start to make preparation for the class play. You start to lay out the steps that you're going to need if you must raise a lot of funds for the class trip, or if you want to propose a much simpler, more modest class trip, but start that right away. Otherwise, it becomes panic, and bad decisions or no decisions are made. Things just happen, and it's often not the kind of deeper experience that you really want to vouchsafe the students. So please think about that, and I just bring this because even though I don't know you and I may not know your school, these things have become such patterns and so habitual in the life of most Waldorf schools that people don't even notice it anymore. It's just a given. That's the way we do it. And it need not be that way. And I want to bring one other thing that I think, again, has become a tradition, is not there, of course, in anything Rudolf Steiner said to the teachers. This is the eighth grade project. It used to be, of course, that the only time the word project was used in the Waldorf school was in 12th grade when the seniors in the high school do their senior projects. And any high school teacher will tell you, what arm twisting and tooth pulling and it takes to get a high school senior, an 18 or 19-year-old, to find his way to a mentor, to keep showing up at the times she and the mentor have arranged, to not keep changing her mind about what she's actually going to do, and then kind of pulling it all together at the last minute. So 12th graders struggle greatly with that. And there again, most senior projects are actually not that impressive, given what Waldorf students have been learning and what incredible superhuman efforts have been poured into helping these students find their way in life. And the senior projects very often look and feel like last-minute affairs. So, they'll certainly do a lot better in eighth grade, won't they? And I guess it was just somewhere along the way, it's one of these things like, you know, writing book reports or building the little houses out of sugar cubes in third grade. Who knows where this began? Who knows who inspired it? Who knows what they had on their mind when they brought it? And suddenly, it becomes a tradition, and everybody now must do this. So if you don't have a high school, and in fact now an increasing number of schools that do have a Waldorf high school, they're doing eighth grade projects as a way of showing the world, you know, what the eighth grader can do. And once again, I would say that this is going to be so distracting for you, because you have to keep after these kids and keep pushing them and pulling them and making sure that they're really working on it. The parents will throw up their arms and just walk away from it. Don't expect much support from them, except if they're very, very pushy parents. And then they're going to sort of do it all for the student. And in fact, like those little houses that the third graders putatively build, the eighth grade project becomes something like that as well. There's often much more parent involvement than is claimed, and that's at the very time when you want to help the student take a step away from the parents and be able to do more on his or her own. And here again, when are you going to fit this in? Will you have a big Friday night or Saturday night event with a dinner and the projects presented? And by the way, it's going to be $25 a person to get in because we need money for the class trip. We haven't raised enough. I would urge you to drop that. Be the first. Take that big step in your school and just say the main lesson books are the equivalent of an eighth grade project. The eighth grader standing up before their classmates and being able to hold forth for 10 or 15 minutes of clear review about what they've learned in the block, that's the moral equivalent. In fact, it's way much, much, much better than what they are doing in their eighth grade project. Because otherwise, it's just one more factor that is going to take away from the pedagogical work that you need to do now. You know, really kind of tying up the loose ends of the previous grades and getting them ready to take that big step into secondary school. So now we'll look more specifically at the content of the eighth grade curriculum.